Welcome back. This is Football Full Disclosure.
We got it right.
Always got to celebrate that. This is game week 13, but we're also going to talk about game week 14 because, gosh, football never stops. It's that busy period, isn't it?
Leaning up to Christmas. Yeah, very busy.
Yeah, it's busy and it's showing, it's catching up. Okay, we're going to just jump right in though and talk about Liverpool.
Yeah, so well, you know,
all right,
some cause for celebration.
The good, the better, and then the slightly...
The mediocre.
The mediocre. That's a great word to use. That's what we were, mediocre against Sunderland. You know, I've got a hot take. I'd like to think that Slot is there listening to our podcast and just taking notes and thinking, these two guys, they know what they're talking about. Because they listened to us, didn't they? Salah was dropped. I think the whole world had been saying it.
Yeah, we didn't completely listen, though.
No, not completely.
Isak wouldn't have started for me.
For you. For me, yes. Joe Gomez.
Happy.
We're happy. That's what we've been crying out for.
Against West Ham.
Bring the Joe back.
Yeah, against West Ham, he's brilliant, I thought. Oh, look, the few things he could have done better, but ultimately, considering he hadn't played for so long, I thought he was brilliant. And he's getting up there. He is whipping in crosses. He's defending and doing the basic stuff that you need to do. I thought he did have a lot more help as well in the form of Szoboszlai.
Indeed,
getting back. But ultimately, that's kind of what you need. I think the problem that we discussed before is... Because Salah wasn't in, that was the big omission, wasn't it? That Salah didn't start and didn't actually play in that game at all. Other players were getting back and helping out defensively, and we didn't give up a lot of chances.
It was solid. For me, I think it was just, we were so solid. We didn't face that many shots. I think that's a big one.
I don't think they had any shots on target.
No, we didn't go down. Like, we weren't down within like the first 5-10 minutes, which has been a problem in the season. Like, you know, these conceding early games, early goals rather. And... You know, for me, I just feel like the team ultimately pulled in together. Salah didn't feature the entire game, the West Ham game. And then obviously there was a sending off, which...
Very odd.
Yeah, Paqueta. I feel sorry for him.
I don't feel sorry for him.
I do. The reason is because I think he's had that 2 years of, you know, the whole gambling thing. And he gets a strange yellow. And he, you know, he overreacts.
Well, he gets a yellow for dissent. So he's mouthing off.
The dissent wasn't that bad.
Right. I mean, did you hear it?
I didn't hear it, but I didn't. I mean, I think he wags his, he flares his arms around, and the refs booked him for that.
Well, I assume
it's a bit hard. It's a bit harsh.
I assume there's some talk there as well. I don't think he's going to get
players say a lot these days. So, anyway, it was a strange sentiment.
But then, you know, there's only one way that's going to end. As soon as he's doing it, I'm like, if he even the Liverpool players were trying to pull him away. Alisson's like, this, look, come away, mate. You know, you're going to get in trouble here. And he just carried on going and carried on going and carried on going, and then he gets sent off, and it's not surprising.
I mean, he should have calmed down, but it's a lot of it, I think, comes back to the emotions of, you know, being investigated for 2 years for potential gambling. But anyway, we're not talking about West Ham. We're talking about Liverpool, aren't we? And then as of today, we've had the mediocre. Yikes.
Yeah.
Not yikes.
You wanted to see, you know, a bit of evolution. You know, it was good against West Ham. Let's continue against Sunderland.
Consistency.
I mean, look, we didn't lose, so take the positives there. We didn't concede early either.
I will take that. I will take the fact that we didn't lose because they had a chance right at the end.
Kayser saved the day.
Honestly, because we lose that and it's, again, we are talking, the conversation we're having right now is different. It's like, ugh, they've not learned anything from West Ham. It's a point. I will take that. Well, against a very good Sunderland
side. Yeah, I think that's what you have to say. Sunderland are doing really well this season. I think at the beginning of the season, you say you're taking a point at home against Sunderland. That's, people would say you're crazy. But ultimately, the way the season's been going, they are doing really well. We have been poor. We'll take that point. It's a midweek game. There is a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of games being played.
Absolutely.
But I think, you know, Salah not starting again, he's not happy, obviously. I think ultimately we might have done better had he not played at all in that game. He did come on at half time.
I didn't like that.
We conceded in the second half.
Send him off to African Cup of Nations. I'm so sorry to say this. Salah, you are a legend, but I think just that his style of play, it slows things down. He's trying to whip in crosses, but he's slowing things down. So players, the defenders, just they get back into position and they easily defend these crosses.
His explosive pace is gone.
It's gone.
I mean, he's lost that. He doesn't the ability just to get the ball and then boom, he's past somebody. So he doesn't really have that in his toolkit anymore.
Repertoire.
Yeah, exactly. He is trying to whip in crosses and it's fine if those crosses are decent, but he's just misplacing passes left, right and centre. The crosses aren't connecting. He's just way off it this season. And obviously that's disappointing. If he's out there doing the business, nobody cares. It's fine. About the defensive side. If he's banging in enough goals to make us win the games, again, people aren't going to care about that. But it's just, there's been a massive drop-off and that's becoming a problem for us. But,
indeed.
I mean, in terms of the Sunderland goal, I thought it was a strike from distance, a bit lucky. Big
they were
deflection.
Lucky. They were
again,
lucky.
Van Dijk turning his back to it, came off his back, boom, it's in the back of the net. That's unfortunate, but Van Dijk should have done better. I thought Wirtz got his first goal. Of course he didn't.
Not,
that's a shame.
You know, my troll friends, first thing they wrote was, oh, it's been given as an own goal. And I just thought, you guys, you're more worried about Wirtz not doing well. But actually, these last two games, he's looked good.
That's a positive.
He's looked more physical. It looks like he's actually just adapting to the Premier League. And I think it's a matter of time before things actually finally click into place for him. And
hopefully for us as well.
And for us as well, actually. And I think he's the key. I think actually Wirtz playing well will help things gel together and maybe Salah not starting these games anymore.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, he got man of the match in that game against Sunderland.
I think the West Ham game as
well. He looked great. He looked great against West Ham. He looked very dangerous. He did look decent against Sunderland as well. You can see glimpses of what he's capable of. That run he did do into the box, or he didn't get the goal.
Yeah.
But it's a great run into the box.
It's a great run.
And I think that you need a player who's going to be able to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yes, the fact that he's starting to do well now is positive. I don't like the way he slot plays Szoboszlai for me. Mm. I think that he's got McAllister and Szoboszlai around the wrong way for me. I think McAllister should be playing further forward and Szoboszlai should be deeper.
He's an engine, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think you need those legs going around, breaking up play like Raven Birch does and getting things moving. I mean, that first half was quite boring against Sunderland. We didn't really create too much at all. We need to be better. The attacking sense, we need to be better. We're just
not
great.
They need to be better, but I want to end this Liverpool segment and just... Earlier on in the season, or just how things have been looking for us this season, we lose that game. And actually, picking up a point, yes, it's against Sunderland. Yes, it's at home. But that's a slight improvement because we need points. However way we're getting points, we need points. Whether they're winning, but we need points. And so I think we can build on this. And we can, obviously, what, we have Leeds next.
Yeah, Saturday, and that's a big game.
I think you
have to get a win there.
Yeah.
I think it was Carragher was saying, wasn't he? He's like, for Slot, he seemed to think that if Slot didn't get at least 7 points, there'd be talks of him getting booted.
Well,
I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think ultimately we definitely need a result against Leeds on Saturday, don't we? And they've just had a good result, so they'll be up for it.
So let's move on to like the somewhat all of these teams because we're talking about game week 13 and 14. Let's start with Chelsea and Arsenal, which was game week 13, a hard-fought draw for Chelsea. They obviously had Moise Caicedo sent off very early. It was definitely a red card.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it was kind of studs out on the ankle, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. And then you see, like, you know, we've had the good, the bad, the ugly. And then Chelsea get turned over 3-1 against Leeds.
Mental, isn't it?
It's a bit strange.
You just...
But Farke is under an awful lot of pressure because... They played quite well against City in the game week 13. So he needed something because obviously, you know, people are out. The vultures are out. The pitchforks are out. They're talking about Farke losing his job.
That's a huge, huge win, though. I mean, that's a real statement win, I think, for him
massive,
as well.
Massive.
It's like I can do it at this level. He's come up before, didn't he? He was with Norwich, went back down again. Obviously, those kind of wins are going to go a long way to saying Leeds can stay up,
but
I think.
But does it... No, you say stay up.
No,
I think it buys him time.
It buys him time, but I mean...
A little bit
if
of
they
time.
Can, if they, against a Chelsea team that are, albeit have been somewhat inconsistent in places, but I mean, that's a decent result against Arsenal, a 1-1, having a player sent off. I mean, that is a good result. You know, they're at home, doesn't matter. That is a good result. An Arsenal team that are grinding out results.
Yeah.
Right? You know, doing it the kind of way that champions need to do it as well, or champions elect, as you like to say, or whatever people call
them. I don't
say
that.
Well, whatever people call them.
I will never call them that.
But that's, you know, that's the kind of results you need. And we could touch on the one they got yesterday as well.
Yeah.
You know, Chelsea have been doing all right. So for Leeds to go out there, play that well, and they really did play well against Chelsea, they'll be... I mean, that's a big, big lift. And that worries me, because we do have them next. There's a wrong time for them to get that kind of result.
Yeah.
So we really need to go out there and not mess around.
And for Chelsea, where people are talking about potential title contenders, probably not. Not really. I think still... I don't want to say inconsistent. I don't think inconsistent, but I think losing Moise Caicedo is going to be an issue for them. And, you know, that's that's three-game suspension, isn't it? So, you know, he's a big, big force in that midfield for them. And not having him, obviously, maybe, you know, I've not seen the game properly, but losing to Leeds is, I don't think it's something the Chelsea side that's challenged for a Premier League should be doing.
No, I guess I would agree with that. But everybody seems to be having little blips along the way on this season. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Not the Arsenal.
I mean, they still drop points. I mean, they did drop points against a Chelsea team that only had 10 men for a fair amount of that game.
Fair point.
I mean, they would look at that and say, "That's, you know, we should have won this game. There's no
they should have. They should have. They had.
They should have gone out
quite a lot of chances
and done the business. And again, they will drop more points again, probably against random teams you're not expecting them to as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, their other game that they did play, they did look pretty decent, I have to say.
Indeed.
And they are playing the way you need to play to win titles. To be honest, they didn't play very well.
Yeah.
Which you could take a positive from, because they. Other teams can say, well, you know, we could go at Arsenal and maybe pick something up here. But ultimately, they didn't play well.
That's what champions
still,
do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They still won 2-0. So.
That's it. Yeah, and that was obviously today a 2-0 win against Brentford, who are a decent size, a very, very good, a very decent size.
Yeah, can absolutely beat you on their day.
So let's move on to the City, Man City, the Emirates FC, who are leaking goals, but weirdly are Arsenal's probable closest contender. But they're leaky. They're so leaky. They conceded 2 goals against Leeds at home. They conceded like 4 or 3 late goals against Fulham. And that was a crazy game. Ended 5-4. Did watch some of that, actually. That was incredible. I think they were up 5-1 at one point, and somehow...
Yeah, they were.
You know, they were lucky. They were absolutely lucky. And Pep, he's going to be worried about that.
Well, you're absolutely worried when you're shipping... Well, when you're that far ahead in a game, let's talk about the Man City-Fulham game. Of course, they did get the result against Leeds, and positives for Leeds, because Leeds were in that game as well. They came back from 2-0 down to eventually lose 3-2, but in that game against Fulham, to concede... What, 3 goals the way they did?
They were good goals. I'll give it to Fulham. They were amazing.
When you're that far ahead, you need to see that game out, don't you?
You do.
But... I'm not going to say against better opposition. Fulham are a decent team. They've got good players. But I mean, yeah, they're definitely there for the taking in a lot of these games. And I think seeing that, other teams will think, yeah. Man City, of course, they can score goals. We know they can score goals. I mean, Haaland on his own, he's a machine, isn't he? An absolute machine. Quickest to 100 goals.
I think,
wasn't it? He got his 100th goal in the Premier League goal.
Didn't captain him. What a mistake for my fantasy team. What was I thinking? What was a lot of us thinking? Why did I not captain him? The issue was I triple captained him against Leeds. Does nothing. Anyway, that's just a bit of annoyance.
You're still top of the league though, aren't you?
No, I'm about second or third.
Is that right?
Yeah,
how long it's been since I've checked.
Exactly.
It.
Well, yeah, that triple captain mistake cost me a little bit.
Okay, all right, okay.
But Phil Foden, he's
great season.
He's stepping up. He stepped up. I think this is what Pep definitely mentioned earlier on in the season. They can't rely on Haaland. I think people like Foden are finally stepping up and, you know, contributing goals here and there and assists here and there, but. You know, he had some excellent finish, and he's a class player. You know, I've always been a big fan of his, in fairness, and this is the right time in the season. You need these players to step up at these points in the season, because you can't put it all on Haaland. Yes, he's a machine, but...
I mean, he's a machine, but
he's human.
If that machine breaks down, then...
Yeah, he's a human machine.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Foden's great. That Reiners, I had him in my... draft fantasy team, took him out. Yeah. He's been doing absolutely nothing. And as soon as I take him out, he's back on the score sheet again. So we're talking about fantasy football. But Foden's been great. I think that that Doku, he's kind of doing some bits and pieces here and there as
Count
well.
Doku.
Yeah, exactly. He's stepping up and getting involved in some stuff as well. So, yeah, they do have other players there. But as you said, it's the defence, man. They're a bit leaky at the minute, aren't they?
So leaky.
Which makes it exciting.
Why are they leaky against us, huh? Kept a clean sheet against us. That's something.
Well, you have to have a team that can actually attack to be a warrior, I think. And we just can't seem to do it at the moment.
All righty. Newcastle?
Yeah, if you like.
Let's talk about Newcastle. Again, they're very good. Very surprising result. A 4-1 win against Everton away. That was a surprise. Did not see that coming. And then a 2-2 draw. At home against Spurs.
A team, again, that have been...
They should, I would argue, they should be beaten. So, you know, in terms of, you know, Everton, that was a bubble, a big bubble burst in because that they were turned over. But Newcastle looked really good. You know, Walter Mardé, a classy from him. You know, I think Moyes looked visibly angry at that 4-1 loss. He looked visibly angry. And then you go back, you know, a few days later, you'd imagine Newcastle would do something similar to a Spurs side that have been, it's getting a bit negative now, kind of as negative as it got last season with Ange Postecoglou.
That's right.
And, but they just, couldn't find a win.
They were ahead, then it's 1-1, then they get a penalty late, and it's just see the game out. To concede 90 plus 5, it's another one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like, a good finish Romero.
But I mean, you've got to see the game out, haven't you? You really have just got to see it out. Romero's, had a decent game for Spurs, obviously, banging in 2 goals. But yeah, there's a lot of questions asked about Spurs, and I guess rightly so. I mean, we're both fans of Frank, but he's not getting it right at the moment, is he?
Okay, so
moments of magic and then moments of mayhem, I think.
In reference to the Spurs game, so they lost as well 2-1 to Fulham. Harry Wilson scored an outrageous goal, if you saw it. It was, Vicario was somewhere, he was having, languishing somewhere at the corner flag, and Harry Wilson has just whipped it in with the peach of that left foot of his. It's a wand. And at the end of the game, there were boos, obviously from the Tottenham side. There were boos, and Thomas Frank has called them out, saying they're not real fans.
Yeah, I saw that.
This is...
That's like a tightrope you walk in, isn't it? I think. You've got to be...
This isn't the first time we've had a Spurs manager targeting the fans. Conte did this. Ange Postecoglou did this. Frank is now doing this.
We saw how it worked out for those guys.
But this consistency, what are the issues with the fans? Is this... I mean, should Spurs fans be just realistic about what type of team they are? They're not a top four side, obviously, clearly not.
I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, for me... I give a manager time. I certainly give a manager that's done well, who's got a good Premier League reputation, like Frank. I'd give him time. Look, it is inconsistent, but you've got to give him time to find that consistency, be it through buying in players that better fit the system he wants to play. I mean, I can't really remember all the business they did in the summer, to be honest. So
a lot of loan moves, I think.
Yeah.
Xavi Simon, Colom Meunier from PSG, I think. Those are the guys from memory. I think Matthias Tell from Bayern Munich. So a lot of attacking players, but
I think you're going into the season as a Spurs fan, and you're right, what are the expectations? I mean,
what do you want?
What are you hoping to achieve? I think it's figure stuff out over the course of the season. Mm. I don't think managers get enough time in football anymore.
No.
Unless you're in a relegation battle, you don't need to panic, right? Top half finish might be okay if by the end of the season you're starting to get things moving in the right direction.
Mm.
Those transitional seasons that have apparently we're having now, sometimes they happen, don't they? And it's about how you move forward. So I think if they're not in and around the European places, which I'm assuming is where Spurs fans would want them to be, then if they don't finish outside of Europe and then the same thing happens next year, okay, then I think you ask questions, don't you? But I think ultimately give them a bit of time,
some time.
Yeah, I think absolutely you've got to give them some time. So...
Okay, next, I want to talk about Brentford, but specifically Mr. Igor Thiago. He's gone under the radar, but I think people need to keep an eye on this guy. You know, he's the top Brazilian goal scorer in the world right now.
I didn't know that.
That's insane.
That is insane. He's having a great season.
Scored 10 and 11 goals against Burnley. Obviously, didn't feature much against Arsenal, but this guy is having a very good season.
Yeah, very good signing for Brentford. Didn't know much about him prior to...
He was signed last season, but he had an injury the entire season. I think it's some ACL or something like that. So he actually got himself fit, and he's shown, actually, he's doing the business.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's an all-round striker. You know, he scored against us, but that's an easy feat these days, isn't
that.
It? but I think Igor Thiago almost definitely is someone to keep an eye on. I think Brentford obviously will be disappointed against losing to Arsenal 2-0, but, you know, a 3-1 win against Burnley in great game week 13 was positive for them.
At home, again, I think Burnley are going to struggle, aren't they, this season? I mean, they already are. But even against Arsenal, I think positives, because I don't think the scoreline completely reflected the game. Yeah, I thought Brentford were a lot better than that. I think Arsenal were, in some respects, kind of lucky to come away with that 2-0 because they weren't great. So, yeah, that, I mean, 3-1 Burnley, great at home. You'd expect it. Positives for the Arsenal game as well. But, I mean, that's Brentford, isn't it? They can turn up and turn you over. That's just the way they are.
Yeah.
But they do have their games as well where it just doesn't work out for them. So
yeah, it was a strange game. It erupted in the last 10 minutes. All the goals literally came from 81 minutes onward. So, okay, let's move on to Aston Villa. Have a little talk about them. Firstly, Martinez makes an amazing save against Wolves, who looked a lot better. A lot better.
Yeah, my thoughts as well. I thought they actually still looked like a team, still lost, but looked like a team that could win a game, which was, I think, looking at that game, I'm thinking, you know, if they do play like this against teams that are in and around, you know, their area of the table, then they can absolutely pick up points. But, I mean, they go from that to...
Obviously, not picking up any points at all against Forest. So, I mean, I want to ask you again. Do you think... They're over.
Positives, only 1-0. I think it would be the positives for both of those games.
Yeah, yep.
I think that's only 1-0. Is definitely a positive for them. They're not getting hidings currently, so perhaps a bit more organised. They did look pretty decent against Villa, I have to say. So yeah. I mean, will they pick up some points? They possibly could. Are they going to be able to pick up enough to save their season?
Absolutely not.
So I think...
What are they on right now, points-wise? Is it
two.
One? 2 points. Mm.
Two draws, that's it.
They're going to break a record,
everything,
aren't they?
Everything like that. I think they will. I honestly do think they will. So, yeah. For me, Wolves are gone. I think also, if I'm throwing the predictions out there nice and early, I think Burnley are going to struggle as well.
Yeah.
I think. But then outside of that, I mean, certainly based on that Leeds result, that last Leeds result, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen outside of those two. But I think those two will be certainly there for the drop. Wolves, 100%.
Indeed, yeah. And Aston Villa, 2 wins. Not bad for them.
Yeah, I mean, they're in pretty decent form, aren't they?
They did very well against Brighton. Very well. I think Brighton at one point was 2-0 up and they fought back. They made it 3-2, 4-2 at one point. And then Brighton, you know, got another goal in. Whoever it was that was in goal for Villa has made an amazing... It wasn't Martinez this time, obviously, but...
No, it was Bisson.
What's his name again?
Bisson.
He's made an...
That was an incredible save.
Amazing save. Amazing save that could have actually levelled it for Brighton. So,
yeah, it was Welbeck. Yeah. Incredible header, by the way, as well.
Oh, Welbeck.
Give him some credit. It was a really good header and just a really good save from Bisson, who had a really good game.
Well, yeah.
I mean, obviously, apart from conceding 3 goals. But, I mean, he did keep Brighton out more than once in that game. So he did pretty well standing in for Martinez. I thought Brighton, the way they started that game was brilliant. I thought that they would go on and get the result there. So again, they'll be incredibly annoyed that they did get something out of that game, because I thought certainly in the first half they looked like they deserved to get something out of it.
Yeah.
But Villa are doing the business.
They're
now,
doing
aren't
well.
They? They're actually
they're doing well.
They're
quietly well under the table. Surely top four.
They're third, I think.
Third. Wowzers.
I'd have to double check that.
Yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, they are. I think
teams probably aren't keeping an eye on them right now, but they've actually had a really good win record. That's excellent for them. And finally, let's end with Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace lost to United. They will be disappointed with that. 2-1 loss to United. But Glasner has made a point that they were knackered. They were absolutely knackered. He's been going on about the run of fixtures that they have. They've got quite a few games coming up, midweek games, all of that, European games. They seem to do very badly after European games.
Yes.
And Amorim did make the very specific point that he noticed they were tired and they took advantage of that.
Yeah, I think that's probably right as well. I think a lot of these teams that aren't used to European football don't have the squads. It's the same old story, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to be kind of in it for a few seasons to kind of...
Yeah, just get yourself used to the
pace. Get used to
it.
Pace. Have a squad big enough to be able to rotate and stay as fresh as you can. But, I mean, it's not easy for any teams when you're playing 4 games in, 10 days or whatever it is, right?
No,
I mean, that's what a lot of the clubs are doing. So
I think Sarr came off injured as well in the United game very early on. So I think these things are catching up with them. And then they have AFCON. coming up as
they'll lose a lot of players.
And they'll lose a lot of players. Yeah. So I think you might see
a bit of a drop off.
For Palace. But they beat Burnley.
They did. And again,
away from home.
A game you'd want to be winning, I think, for Palace, certainly off the back of that United result. Away from home, 1-0, but still take it. You know, clean sheets wherever you can get them. And Palace are a team that seem to be very good at getting clean sheets, actually, for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So games like this.
I think they've got a pretty solid back five, don't they?
I mean, they've been pretty defensively decent since the Hodgson era, haven't they?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Okay, I guess that's somehow we sped through that.
Yeah,
game week 13 and 14. Wowzers.
Speedy.
And then Saturday.
There is a game tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, United.
So United and United. West Ham.
Well, the way things are going, it's the good, the bad, the ugly, isn't it? So I expect United to lose that.
I have absolutely no idea what happened in that
game. No one knows.
West Ham are a team that have had a bit of a slight improvement, and then it kind of goes down, and then it's back up again. And United, you never know what's going on. In fact, I wouldn't bet money on any teams this year.
I mean, we're not advocating for betting,
But if I were a betting man, I wouldn't be betting. That makes any sense.
Don't bet if you were a betting person on any games of these seasons because I mean, let's see what happens, right? You know, can we honestly say Liverpool are out of it, out of the Premier League? Mathematically not, of course not.
It's never over till it's over, and I don't like to resign myself to defeat, but ultimately
I'm still hopeful.
Well, you know what? I think we definitely have to be getting a centre back. In Christmas time. Yeah, that's the present we need.
100%.
January window.
There's only one guy I'm looking at. Gay. Yeah. Get him in. Honestly.
It'll be cheaper because he's running down his contract. So it's either just... Apparently
Barcelona and Real Madrid and Bayern Munich are sniffing around. I think give him whatever he wants right now because we are looking... shocking at the back.
Yeah, losing Leone was a big
issue
because he actually did look pretty decent until he got injured.
Yeah,
and he's like decent reputation, good young player with a decent reputation. So yes, Gehi absolutely, but he can talk to foreign clubs in January.
Mm.
Okay, so the pre-contracts can be done.
That's the problem.
So that is the problem. Is he going to want to come to Liverpool? I mean, we had a pulling power at the start of the season. Do we still have the same pulling power in January?
I mean, it's a World Cup year, isn't it, for him? And I don't know if someone like that would want to disrupt their lives by going to another country and all of these things. I think just moving to Liverpool might just be the easiest option for him.
That's actually a decent point that I hadn't thought about because, it will be quite disruptive.
It's a lot, isn't it? You've got to go to Germany or Spain. You know, I know language might not be an issue these days for football players, but you know, it would be a big one. I would like to think that behind closed doors, we've got that maybe already wrapped up. Like, hey, come January, you will just sign here and you'll be wearing that Liverpool shirt. Let's hope, because they need a centre-back.
Well, I think it was pretty much in place, wasn't it?
It was pretty much done. It was pretty much done.
Last door, it fell apart. So if that still stands and he still has the same mentality, then he's probably already said to Palace, look, I'm leaving it on a free at the end of the year. I'm not going to re-sign. Or you make a little bit of money out of me now and Liverpool will absolutely pay it. I mean, geez, we spent enough in the summer. I don't think we're going to worry about how much it's going to cost us in January to solid up that defence because it is not good. It's leaky.
It's leaky and it's just bad.
It's just too prone to mistakes, I think, at the moment. And that was certainly our downfall in that last game. I think there were far too many individual errors coming from players you don't want individual errors coming from.
No. Anyway... thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Marty, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Yeah, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.